Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, December 12th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, only two of Minnesota's members of Congress backed the government spending bill. The legislative auditor will look into the Commerce Department, and a big MNsure deadline is near. As I say, just two of Minnesota's eight members of Congress voted for the $1.1 trillion spending bill that's designed to keep the government funded through the next year. Brett Neely has more.
Republican Congressman John Klein and Eric Paulson were the only members of the delegation to back the spending bill, which passed with just one vote to spare. All five of Minnesota's House Democrats were joined by outgoing Republican Michelle Bachmann in voting no against the spending bill. The Democrats complained about a measure in the bill that loosened regulations on Wall Street banks and substantially raised campaign contribution limits to political parties. Bachmann said the bill did not go far enough in combating President Obama's executive order on immigration. The legislation now heads to the Senate, where a vote is likely in the coming days. Neither of Minnesota's Democratic senators, Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken, have indicated opposition to the bill. Brett Neely, Minnesota Public Radio News, Washington.
State Commerce Commissioner Mike Rothman is asking the legislative auditor to investigate his department. He wants the auditor to look into allegations that he disregarded advice from career staffers to terminate a contract with a controversial nonprofit. The move, which has the backing of Governor Mark Dayton, comes after NPR News reported yesterday that problems at Community Action of Minneapolis persisted for years before the state finally shut down the nonprofit in September. Tom Scheck has more.
Governor Dayton says he takes the allegations very seriously regarding Commissioner Mike Rothman's oversight of Community Action of Minneapolis. That's why he and Rothman want the legislative auditor to look into claims that politics may have influenced Rothman. Some Commerce Department staffers say Rothman continued funding Community Action of Minneapolis despite concerns over how the nonprofit spent public money. Dayton says he wants to know what happened.
The purpose of the investigation is to have someone independent and experienced in making those determinations provide all the information, both or all sides of the story.
Dayton said Community Action of Minneapolis CEO Bill Davis never discussed contracts with him. He acknowledged that Davis's endorsement was important when he ran for governor in 2010, but he called Davis a political, not a personal friend. He said Davis was a respected leader in the DFL party and the African American community. Dayton added that he has not spoken to Davis in a year. Davis has not responded to interview requests. Republican House Speaker designate Kurt Dowd says he was troubled by the NPR story.
If it's true that Rothman chose to put politics before protecting Minnesotans, he should resign.
In an interview earlier this week, Rothman said he took several steps to monitor Community Action. He said any discussion of politics in meetings had to do with protecting low-income people in Minneapolis. Rothman said Commerce closely monitored the nonprofit after it discovered Community Action misspent $1.3 million in 2011.
We put them on a very strict corrective action program, and then when this came to light this August, it was, in essence, the last straw.
Rothman's defense doesn't satisfy Republican Senate Minority Leader David Hahn. Hahn says the Senate should hold a hearing in January on Rothman's confirmation. If the Senate doesn't confirm Rothman, the commissioner loses his job. Hahn says he thinks the Senate should reject Rothman.
It does raise a lot of troubling concerns for us and members of the public about just exactly who is Commissioner Rothman working for. Is he working for the governor as a political agent, or is he working for the state as the chief compliance officer over insurance and other kind of regulatory matters?
But a DFL senator who has been one of Bill Davis's biggest critics said she's not ready to fire Rothman. DFL Senator Barb Goodwin of Columbia Heights first started raising concerns about Davis's spending in 1998. Goodwin said Rothman has been a terrific commissioner. She says she'd have to see a lot more problems involving Rothman before voting against his confirmation.
He's no different than anybody else that was afraid of Bill Davis for no good reason. A lot of people in both parties, I think, were afraid of Bill Davis. And like I said, they gave him power that he shouldn't have had.
Goodwin says Davis is the one who should be punished. State investigators are reviewing Community Action's books to determine if the state can reclaim any misspent public money. Goodwin believes there should also be a criminal investigation. Legislative Auditor Jim Nobles says his investigation won't stop with the Commerce Department. He says he'll investigate all state and federal grants given to community action agencies across the state.
The state of Minnesota provides literally tens of millions of dollars to a lot of different nonprofit organizations. And that's a good thing, to be utilizing their expertise and their involvement in their communities. But it's public money, and there has to be accountability.
Noble says he does not believe the state is doing enough to ensure community action agencies are spending taxpayer money appropriately. If they were, he said the problems at Community Action of Minneapolis would have been stopped a long time ago. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Monday is the deadline to sign up on MinSure for private health insurance that's effective January 1st. People who help consumers with the application process say business is booming. As long as MinSure's long-troubled website can handle the traffic, the busier the better, as far as the agency is concerned. Mark Zadeklik reports.
One of the ads in MinSure's marketing campaign features an uninsured mom and dad worrying about their child's fever.
We need to take him to the doctor.
I think we should wait. I mean, without insurance, it'll cost us.
29-year-old Duke Mochama says that ad got to him.
I said, man, I need to do something. You never know. The next minute, you might be sick.
Mochama is Kenyan. He's been in Minnesota for a little more than 1 year and has a temp job as a machine operator. He's got a green card and permanent resident status. After seeing the ad, he went to MinSure's website, but found all of the choices overwhelming.
I tried to look through the plans and the cost, but I was kind of not really understanding it very much.
So Mochama made an appointment with someone who could help. He met his navigator, David Winkworth, at a community center in East St. Paul.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So we're going to get you some health care today. Come on in.
Mochama tells Winkworth he's looking for a plan that he can afford, and off they go.
I'm just going to give you a form here.
The two set up Mochama's account and discover his income qualifies him for a monthly premium subsidy of $19. They then begin looking at some of the plans. The first one they happen upon has no deductible but costs $226 a month, even with his subsidy discount. They both know it's too much.
Why don't we sort them on premium, monthly premium, so we can see the more inexpensive ones.
They settle on a health partner's plan with a $2,500 deductible that'll cost Mochama $138 a month, and they do the deal.
All right, Duke, congratulations.
Okay, thank you.
You're covered.
Mochama is young and relatively healthy. He is exactly the kind of person MinSure needs to keep the economics of the exchange in good shape. He'll pay premiums, but probably will not require much expensive care. The executive director of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans, Julie Bruner, says in general, the more people MinSure can attract, the more affordable and more stable insurance prices on the exchange will be.
Because the more people you have in the insurance pool, the larger you spread the risk, the more people that you spread the risk over. And if your pool is larger, you have an opportunity to keep those rates from fluctuating so wildly.
Bruner says she'll be watching closely to see whether MinSure gets the surge in enrollments it's hoping for between now and Monday's deadline. So will MinSure CEO Scott Leitz, who says about 40% of the agency's budget comes from a 3.5% surcharge it imposes on commercial plan premiums. Light says that means MinSure's bottom line depends on enough people enrolling in private health plans.
It is a funding source for ensuring that we still have this marketplace available to people to get the affordable coverage.
MinSure recently slashed its private insurance enrollment estimate for next year by one-third to 67,000. If enrollment falls short of that reduced target, MinSure could look to the Minnesota Department of Human Services for more funding. DHS officials are already trying to figure out whether they might have to ask the legislature for more taxpayer money to cover the department's financial obligations to MinSure. Getting the Republican-controlled House to go along with such a request could be difficult. Light says after Monday's deadline, he'll have a better idea about the budget.
We'll certainly have some data that's going to give us a sense of whether how close up to track we are, but that's not going to be the end of the story.
Leitz points out that open enrollment continues through February 15th, when the vast majority of Americans are required by law to be enrolled in a health plan or face a tax penalty. To ensure as many people enroll as possible, MinSure is extending its call center weekend hours and will take calls until midnight on Monday. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I will see you again here next week.